Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's the new
spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man. You got a question for RLM?
What's up, reality, spirituality audience? What's up? It's your host, Rebecca Lynn Norrington. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your emails, blah, 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 blah. I really do appreciate the new listeners that I'm getting every single week. I don't miss technology. People are finding me all over the place. And just thank you for being there. Thank you for listening. Listen. All I'm here to do is share a different perspective. I'm not trying to convince you of anything. I'm not trying to have you follow me. And she says it's true. I just want to just open just another perspective. And let me say this. I am a self-proclaimed happiness specialist. What the hell does that mean? That means that years ago I wanted two things. I wanted to live to my potential. And I wanted to be happy. And when I made that commitment to wanting to be happy, and let me tell you, I wanted to be happy more than anything else because I had a lot of other stuff. I had the fairy tale marriage. I had the house. I had the title. Well, the titles, I mean, you know, come on. Titles, accomplishments. Blah, blah, and another blah. And then when I'm finding in traveling, finding that none of those things really sustain me, I called it junk food. You know, when you, potato chips taste pretty good. Chips taste pretty good when they're going down. But the satisfaction, the feeling, the fulfilling, it just didn't stay with me. I wanted something that was going to be rooted. I wanted to feel happy. And let me just define happiness for you. My definition of happiness is being able to be at peace regardless of what happens and regardless of what doesn't happen on this journey called life. That's it. Feeling rooted in peace and contentment. The number to call in to speak with me live is area code 646-564-9619. Again, area code 646-564-9619. I am available for retreats, weekend talks, speeches, afternoon. I am available. Trust me, I'm ready to let loose and share with the world what I've learned about this thing called happiness. It is a life struggle search journey to find this happiness. And I have to say that I've found some things that might help you out. You know, I used to tell my son that you don't have to take the test by yourself. I got some answers for you if you want some answers. You don't have to learn a lot. You don't have to learn the hard way. I have answers. And I want to share with you, my dear audience, some of the answers. What subtracts from happiness? What behaviors subtract from happiness? What behaviors add to happiness? It's really that simple. It's about practicing the behaviors that add to happiness, that add to peace, and subtracting and eliminating those behaviors, eliminating the behaviors that subtract from happiness, right? The problem comes from the programming that we all have been subject to. My second book that I'm working on, Program for Unhappiness, It is a programming, and it is the programming. It is the illusion. It is what is not real. It is the program that I've been fighting. So it's really recognizing what the programming is. And the programming is to blame other people for how I feel, to compare myself with others, noticing what somebody else is doing, talking about what somebody else is doing, judging other people, judging myself. All expectations detract from happiness, all of them. Giving power to words, having an attachment to anything, including the outcome, including a person, all attachments subtract from happiness. Living in the past, living in the future, having preferences, resistance. Those are a few things those are a few things that subtract from your happiness. Now, being a happiness specialist, one of the things that, I'm telling you, it is a job. It is a J-O-B. It is a job to practice what I teach. But lucky for me, my fate has already been sealed, and the universe throws at me on a daily basis things to practice. And I have to say thank you, universe, because I asked for it. I want to be rooted in peace. I want it more. I want to have a level of consciousness where, I'm standing in the middle of the ocean. I'm on a single rowboat, and the waves are crashing, and there's a storm brewing, but I'm at peace. That's what I want. That's how I want to live. Because life is going to throw me all kinds of curveballs, all kinds of stuff's going to happen, but I want to be peaceful with all of it that happens, with everything. And so with that commitment, and it is a commitment, number one, the goddamn universe gets in every nook and cranny of my existence to pull everything out, because the only reason why I suffer, the only reason why you suffer, is because of that ego telling, saying, listening, giving power to something's wrong. Something's wrong. Something needs to be different. Something needs to be changed than what is happening. You know, the ego is tricky. I'm going to share with you this week three separate stories that happened to me. One was just yesterday, that forced me to look in the mirror yet again, because it is always about the internal struggle. All the suffering comes from thinking that something needs to be different than what is actually happening. The truth is the vibration of satisfaction, vibrating. You can feel the different vibration, the vibration of being feeling satisfied and the vibration of being dissatisfied. I mean, look out in the world. It's a world of dissatisfaction. I'm telling you, if you're not satisfied in the present moment with what is happening with the present moment and all the present moment brings and all the present moment looks like and all the present moment feels like, you're not going to be satisfied or happy in any future moments either. The satisfaction, the vibration of satisfaction is in this present moment. Regardless of what it feels like, regardless of what it looks like, I'm just letting you know, I'm giving you a heads up. I was looking at, I like to do in the news at the beginning of the show. So in the news this week, Aretha Franklin died. And that's one thing that the music, let me tell you something, there is, music is so universal, and there's people, my body is chilling up. People feel, you feel from music. and everybody is like different types of music, but music has the ability to make you feel a certain way. And I say feel connected. There is a universal vibe that goes through when you're listening to some music. You can get to another place, a place of happiness, joy, or even a place of sadness just by listening to some music, a place of reflection. Music is so powerful to the human spirit, the human soul. So I'm going to give thank you, Aretha Franklin, for sharing your voice and your gift of music and your gift of song and your phenomenal voice. But I was looking at an interview that Oprah did with Aretha Franklin. I don't know how many years ago. It might have been, 15 years ago. I have no idea, but Oprah put it on her channel, and so I watched it. And Aretha Franklin was talking about not being happy with her weight and the thing that bothered her, biggest bother. She is bothered, but challenged, I'm paraphrasing now, was her family relationships and her weight. And she actually put weight as number one. And she said that she could feel the difference in her tone, singing tone, at a certain weight when she was heavier versus when she was lighter. It was really interesting. But for this woman to be dissatisfied with her weight gain, weight loss, for a lifetime of it, because I saw pictures of her, later years, and she was still at a heavier weight. And I contend this, and the first step, if I had a chance to have a conversation with her or anybody that feels weight is an issue, the first step is to be accepting of self with whatever weight you are. Accept that first. Accept it and get to a place of contentment with that weight, because, and I've spoken to a lot of people, a lot of students that have been heavy and lost weight, and they say the same thing. I wasn't happy when I was heavier, and I'm not happy when I'm skinnier. The weight is really not the issue. It's the feeling behind it. It's the programming behind it. It's the shame behind it, or the criticizing of self behind it. So, and that's all the ego. The ego, listen, has one job, is to make me feel as bad as possible for as long as possible. And if I lose the weight, I'm going to feel like this. I'm going to feel a lot better. But it's really tackling that internal struggle. But I digress. So I'm just going to throw that out there. The topic today is transcending the ego. And back to the weight thing, it's the same with money. People that think that money is going to be and have an answer and make you feel a certain way and feel happier, it's just not going to happen, folks. Look at all the people that have money. They should be happy as clams, right? I mean, look at all the people that we see, the celebrity, that have all this money. I mean, no judgment here. I'm just observing. Let's get back to the topic. Since I'm claiming to be a happiness specialist, the universe has hit me with, oh my goodness, so many little lessons. And I want to share with you one that just seems so simple. So I live in the middle of the forest, and listen, I didn't know living in Oregon meant that you had to have your roof treated for moss. Who knew that that's a yearly treatment, or you have to keep it up with moss growing on the roof? And thank goodness I don't have grass, because supposedly moss grows in the grass too. Jeez. So I'm getting the roof treated for moss, because there's been moss growing. And the interesting thing is, the gentleman that has been coming to the house and treating the moss on the roof, he talked me into something else. He says, you need to get some of these openings at the outside of the house. There's little flats and there's openings. And he says, you need to get those caulked. You need to have those filled, because when the rain comes and it seeps in, you're going to have moisture and more moss, and you don't want to have moisture between the walls. So he talked me into giving him another job. Now, that was a week and a half ago. Now, the moss has already been treated. And now he's getting to caulking the little slats, little areas in the slats on the outside of the house that I can see rain could get in there and it would cause some moisture problems. Okay, let's get that done. But this particular guy is one of the, and it's funny because Oregon people are a little bit different business-wise. You know, they get things done not on my schedule, on their schedule. And they get things done, when they get around to it. The gentleman started caulking the outside of the house, and that was 5 days ago. Now, in the meantime, he leaves a ladder up right on the outside of the house, and I've got these big picture windows. And this ladder, I'm looking at it right now. This ladder is standing right outside. I look, and it's obstructing the view. It's obstructing the view. And I have to tell you that my ego was bothered by this ladder standing there for a day, 2 days, 3 days. I didn't know when this guy was coming back. It was 4 days, and now I've got this energy of, okay, there's something has to be done about it. This guy just left this ladder here. Doesn't he know he's got to finish the job, and when is he going to do it? And my dear audience, let me tell you, I texted him and I said with an energy of, okay, I want this job finished. This has to be done. I didn't say that there's a ladder obstructing my view. That would have sounded really crazy. But when is it going to get done? To even actually give him a date. I want it done by a week. Give me a Tuesday, next Tuesday. I want it done. And I'm telling you, while I was texting that, I didn't feel, I know the vibe of peace versus the vibe of, I'm a little bothered, ticked, charged, if you will. I know the difference. So the text was it had a little tick of, Do you know that ladder is still sitting out there. And finally it hit me. Because it's been 3 days after I text him and saying, hey, finish this job. I think I said please. I might not have, but don't tell anybody. I said, Can you finish this? It's been 2 weeks now. Almost 2 weeks. That's another thing. Exaggerating the problem, exaggerating it, it's been 5 days and now it's turning into 2 weeks. That's another thing that I noticed that I can do pretty easily. I can exaggerate it and add more drama to what it really needs to be. But the universe told me that, look at that ladder, and you're not okay with staring at that ladder obstructing your view. You're not okay with that, right? Well, that ladder's going to stay there until you are okay with it. And I don't know about you, my dear audience, but that's a little struggle for me. Might sound small to you, but it's a struggle. So that's my number one story. And so having a preference in asking, let me say something, asking anybody to do anything because I don't like it or I can't live with it or I can't, it bothers me. Asking, wanting anybody to do something other than what they're doing is a minefield, is a bomb, it's a booby trap. So letting it go, letting everything go, and having the patience that it's going to get done, relax, let go. Speaking about letting go, let me tell you something. One of the things that happens to me is whatever I need next to get to another level of consciousness, it always seems to just fall at my feet. It just seems to be right at the door. It's delivered to me in a nice little package. And if you've listened to the show, you know that one of my biggest teachers, I have to say foundation, is David Hawkins. And for some reason, I don't even know how I found it, but I was listening to a David Hawkins interview. And it was an older interview. It was from the 80s. And he mentioned one of his teachers, Lester Levinson. And Lester Levinson, I don't know if you've heard this, but it's called the Sedona Method. I'd never heard of it before. And so the Sedona Method is a method, a practice, where you can release, when you practice this all the time, you can release any quote-unquote bad emotion, anger, fear, frustration, impatience, sadness, resentment, you know, all those things that just seem to just come right there when I don't want them. So this releasing, and I'm looking at that ladder, so this releasing of those emotions that really don't keep me balanced. I don't feel balanced when I'm holding on to or I'm experiencing impatience. But again, one of the first things, so this Lester Levinson is talking about three questions that you ask yourself. And he says, once you get to a place, no, not once you get to a place, but to get to a place that rises above the ego, because the ego is the one that has programmed all of these emotions. This happens, so now I'm angry. The ladder's there, so now I'm bothered, and I don't have patience, and I don't want to look at that ladder. I mean, come on. Looking at a ladder when I have 11 other windows to look through? I'm bothered because I'm looking through one window with the ladder. I guess it's funny. It wasn't funny a few days ago, but I can laugh about it now. But let me get back to what Lester and I looked at some of his videos on YouTube, and what is the practice that he says? He says, when you're feeling these emotions of impatience, I'm going to use the emotion of fear, because that's a big one. He talks about letting go. You can let go of any emotion, you can release it. And he gives an example of, you know, if you've ever lost your car in a parking lot, or you lose your keys, or you lose your cell phone, and you're looking and you're looking and you're looking and you don't remember where it is, and oh my gosh, and you're frustrated, and you, where is it, where is it? And finally, you know, after, where is it, and did I lose it? Do I have to get another phone? Where's my wallet? Where are my keys? Oh, I misplaced my keys, and I spent hours looking for it or half hour looking for it. I can't find it. Go back to the car, look in the drawers. You know, whenever you've lost something, and then all of a sudden you find it, that emotion is that release of all of that, I'm going to label negative emotion that you had before you found your keys, or before you found your wallet, or before you found whatever you lost. You know, when you find something, you've been looking, you're looking, you're looking, and then you find it. Oh, What a good feeling that is, right? So that's what he's saying about releasing those emotions. And you can release them instantly when you practice asking yourself out loud these three questions. Now, before you do ask the questions, though, you definitely want to accept that emotion. Now I'm feeling fear, or now I'm feeling anxious, or now I'm feeling nervous, or whatever the emotion is. So number one is the acceptance of it. And then you ask yourself these three questions. Let's use the emotion fear. Could I let go of fear? So you answer it out loud. Could I let go of fear? And I'm like, yes. And the second question is, would you let go of fear? That's going to be another yes for me. And the last question is, when? And I immediately, now? So I just got this 2 days ago, and I'm practicing because I have emotions all over the place. All over the place, especially living in the middle of the forest, sometimes at night. Sometimes. So I've been doing it out loud. Could I let go of fear? Yes. Would I let go of fear? Yes. When? Now. And the more I said it over and over and over and over again, there is a release and there is a lightness that I can say that I feel. So I'm going to throw that out to you and see if you'd like to practice it and if you think that that's a fit for you. Now, if you want to speak with me live, I have a few people in the queue. You can just press the number 1 if you want to speak with me live. If not, just hang on because I have a story about how I change. I've got actually 2 stories, and one is with one of my chiropractors. Now, this is a small town. I've been to 4 chiropractors. 4 different chiropractors. No, 5 different chiropractors, bouncing around, bouncing. And there's this one chiropractor who I say is the best. I mean, just goes to the point, best adjustments. The other ones, he give me adjustment, and then, you know, next day I'm kinked up again. But this one chiropractor, I think he's the best hands. But the problem with that is, oh, my goodness, the problem with that was this guy would talk and talk and talk and tell me a story and is right and is, I mean, it was so annoying. So annoying, my dear audience. But I knew it wasn't him. I knew it was me. So I knew that I had to accept him. But before I got to acceptance, I had to tolerate, you know, there's whole stages of this. I can't just jump from judging him and being annoyed by him and then all of a sudden accepting him and loving him. No, it doesn't work like that. At least it doesn't work like that with me. It's a process. It's a stage because it's always looking at me. And I'm up here. Now I've got to a point where I've gone beyond tolerance. And I've accepted, and I can even laugh at the jokes. I mean, this guy, and he's controlling. This guy actually, I was reading a book, and he actually, David Hawking's book, took the book out of my hands and told me not to read while I'm laying there on a heating pad. He says, he took the book out of my hands. Now, that was at a point where I was already accepted him, so I was okay with that. I let it go. But last week, something happened that caused me to look at this man, the way that the universe looks at him. Because I didn't get to that jump yet. I didn't get to that spot yet. I didn't get there yet. And I even asked the universe, I said, how can I love this man? How can I love this? I've asked that question. And last Friday, I got the answer. So I was leaving the chiropractor's office, and right when I'm outside, there is a head-on collision. Two cars ran head-on to each other. The sound was deafening. It sounded like a truck hitting a wall. And so the two cars were spinning around. I didn't see the collision, but I heard it. And as soon as I went outside, the people in the car, one lady was just in shock. She couldn't even move. We didn't know. And there were people across the street that were going to their aid. And I'm looking like, what can I do? This chiropractor the person that I, okay, I accept it, but I hadn't really gotten to another level of love, ran to the accident. And he can't even run. I mean, he's got a bad back himself, but he ran across that street. I didn't even run across the street. Like, what can I do? Like those first aid, first responders, those firemen that run into a burning building, that kind of energy. And it moved me so much. It moved me so much that when he came back, I put my hand on him and I said, wow, he's got this hero, the word hero vibe. I didn't know that. I didn't know that about him. I was looking at all the other stuff. So at that moment, the universe gave me an ability to look at this man differently. So I want to thank the universe. Oh, I have someone wants to. Oh, hold on a second. Welcome to Reality Spirituality. Is this my New York listener, Nathan?
This is. What's up?
Hi, Nathan.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going good. It's going good.
That's good.
So, do you have a question, or are you just listening, or comment, or what do you think about what I've said? If you want to share.
I really was just listening, talking about finding some kind of peace and relief, or noticing those moments where it's like, the ladder and this, the chiropractor, just these real life moments. And just navigating through them. I don't really have a question yet. I was just going to be on here in case you wanted to answer back and forth.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Okay, all right. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I have another story, and if you'd like to sit through this story, this is a woman yesterday.
Oh, yes.
I'm gonna put you on mute, and then I'll come back to you after the story, and you can hang on or not. Is that okay?
All right. Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. Hold on. Okay. So this. Okay. So now that was the chiropractor story, and the only reason why I did the mute thing is just because of the background noise. I don't know if it's the speaker or anything, but anyway. So there was a woman that I met yesterday talking about, I'm claiming to be a happiness specialist, and one of the biggest challenges for me is this judging. Judging and accepting others the way they are, judging and accepting. And but what I definitely know how to do is recognize it in other people. So this woman that I just met, well, actually I just sat down and talked to yesterday, she's telling me a few stories and about her housing and blaming the people that she's renting the house from. The house is in disarray, it's not well kept. And I actually called her on it. I said, well, so you're blaming somebody else for a house that you're living in? I mean, you chose a house. And so what I was trying to do, listen to this, what I was trying to do was shine the light on her to say, well, you're blaming someone else. That was number one. Number two, I'm listening to stories about her and this county that I live in. I mean, this county in Oregon, very small, and supposedly it is one of the poorest counties in Oregon. And there, it's just not progressive. It is not progressive. It's maybe 15 years behind the times. It really is. And so she was talking about this community and how it's not progressive and how you know, these people here in this county are so, quote, backwards. And I didn't like that. And I'm telling her, well, listen to this. I'm telling her, well, I accept the people in this county, and they'll progress when they will progress. I actually said that to her. Then she's telling me a story about a relationship that she's having. And I'm up there, and she's talking about her ex-husband and how horrible he is. And I said, oh, so you have disdain for him. Yes, I don't like him, and on and on and on, and all the things that he did. And I said, can you come up with three things that you do like about him? Can you come up with three things that are good about him? And, of course, she was stuck. And she couldn't. Well, he's breathing. That was one of her things. And it bothered me, my dear audience, it bothered me. I'm using she with air quotes, bothered me. Until I realized that she wasn't the one that was bothering me. Everything that I accused her of, everything that I accused her of, I was doing myself. I did not accept her. Oh, and listen to this one. And the way she tells the story was this long, 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 long story. And sometimes I'm accused of that myself. Long, 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 long story. And I even said, you know, get to the point. I asked you a question. It's either yes or no. What's the answer? Well, I got to explain first. Oh, I love that when people say, oh, I got to explain it first. So all of the things that bothered me, quote, bothered me, I had to say I was judging her. I wasn't accepting her. I was blaming her. Oh, and you know what? You know what? While I was listening to her stories, I could feel myself just not accepting, resisting, and I tried. I said, let me listen to her with universal ears and let me be patient, but it just would never end. It would never end. Kind of like this show. And it came all the way back to me. It came all the way back. I am the one that isn't accepting of her. I am the one that was judging her. I am the one with the judgment. I am the one that blamed her for me being irritated because the stories were so long and she wasn't getting to the truth and she wasn't fill in the blank. One of the things that I'm going to say my ego tries to do is trying to teach somebody else, trying to uplift or teach somebody else when they didn't ask me, trying to teach or share a nugget of wisdom with someone else and they haven't asked me for anything. So when I'm not asked, this is what I do. And she actually said out loud, she says, thank you for the psychoanalysis. And I'm thinking, what? So my point is, I cannot wait to see this woman again, and I'm going to see her this week. Because all of this wanting her to be different, see the light, love and accept other people. Accept that she doesn't accept this county because it's backwards. Okay, she has a problem with ex-husband and he's horrible and he's all of this because she wanted me to think he was bad too. Okay, you can tell when somebody's telling a story whether they want you to think favorable of the person or not just by the twist that they put on the story. So, and I said, I'm not buying into being, not liking him, but I'm done with all of that. I'm done with trying to teach and share unless I'm asked or unless I'm giving a speech, unless I'm at a podium. I'm letting go of that because that's, for me, that's all ego there too. I'm going to go back to Nathan, who just happens to be my number one and only son. I'm going to go back to Nathan and ask him if he has any kind of insight. Hi, Nathan. Do you have any kind of insight comments on that last story?
Insight. Well, I just think it's so interesting when it's you talking about her telling a story and then really focused on her, and then you're thinking it's you. I just think about me and those moments when I know it's the other person, or I feel like what the other person is doing is really bothering me. I mean, that is what's happening, right? So,
yes, Nathan. Isn't that what's happening?
Yeah. So I think it's really, I don't know. I just know in that moment for me, it's like, okay, this is me. Yeah, and it in one way it feels good because it keeps it simple. And we talked about simplicity, so it's like, okay, well, I know I can kind of look within myself for the answers instead of looking at figuring out someone else or figuring out why I don't like them or what they're doing or whatever. But in another way, it doesn't feel good because I'm like, I don't want this to be me. I'd rather it be somebody else. I'm too cool. I'm too, you know, I've practiced this too much. It can't, I don't know what that is, maybe owning it or thinking that, I think that, what is that for me? I feel like if it's me, then I just don't. Well, you talked about accepting earlier, or accepting the county, accepting the people. So maybe that is for me, just accepting that sometimes it's just whatever energy I'm carrying, and accepting that, because I feel like that has to be at least step one. And then at least so say I'm listening to someone or some kind of outside circumstance it feels like it's irritating me. If I have this track playing in my head, okay, I'm accepting that something's going on with me
And then now I feel like I have a slightly different perspective on everything else. I still might be, because I didn't tell you this, but I went to the Apple store yesterday, and you and I talked about customer service and Apple store, you know, and I already went in. I mean, I already went in with a, as we like to say, a chip on my shoulder, you know. I don't want to be there. It's a ton of people. It's loud. It's already... I don't know what kind of pet peeve this is. I'll just admit to this, but I have a pet peeve when people are being too nice to me. For some reason, that really bothers me. And at the Apple store, they're all really, really nice. And I don't know why. I'm like, stop being so nice to me. So I was working with one person, and I felt like I thought he was not knowledgeable about what we were talking about. I think he didn't really care about me. I thought he was overcharging me. I mean, all these things that I was putting on him. And I felt like, wow, I just knew that he might be doing all these things. But still, I know something's going on with me. Even if he is not knowledgeable, and even if he is overcharging, and even if he is over-explaining, I was just like, damn it, I think I'm just not in, you know, I'm not in one of my clear-minded states. I'm not clear-minded, I won't say that, but I just wasn't happy-go-lucky, fun, friendly, patient. I was chippy, and then I felt myself accept that, and we actually, our interaction did get a little bit better, but it didn't really change him, but it did kind of change my perspective on him, because then I started thinking, well, he's just an employee. I mean, he's at a job right now. He's trying to help out a customer. I know I'm the customer. He's trying to do whatever he can. And maybe he has a chip on his shoulder too. I don't know, but what if we both have chips on our shoulder and then we're trying to work through something together? It's really not easy for either one of us. So anyway, it was just an interesting situation because I put it on him at first, and then I felt like, wow, this is on me too. Well, it's on me for sure. And actually, once that was over, I still felt a little chippy. I like that word, a little chippy. And I just went home and I ate and I took a nap because I wanted a little reset. Sometimes that's a tactic for me, is I'll just sleep or rest or lay down. It's a little reset. So anyway, I relate to your story. The only thing go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say you're ahead of the game with me because I know that it's not her, it's me, but I sure didn't let that thought get in. I was so, I was bothered, and I was bothered later on after I left, and I kept saying, why is that still bothering me? Why
still
is it
bothering
so cool?
Me, yeah.
Why is she still bothering me?
Mm.
And then it hit me a little bit later, but the interesting thing that you said is, and I'm gonna throw this out because you asked why. I don't like the phone. I don't like the scripted routine stuff. And when people are at a company, Apple customer service, there is a script. There is a phony. I'm gonna use the word phoniness. There's a fakeness. Because you're customer service, and it is part of the job to customer is always right. He'll cater to the customer, and there is a tone to it. There is a theme song. He talks, "Hi, how are you doing today?" And it drives me up the wall. But it's my problem, gosh darn it. It's my problem because I'm not accepting the programming of other people.
Yeah, that's so funny. No, that's true.
Let me just say this, and I'm going to just own up to this because in my real life, not on the radio, but in my real life, and I've done it less and less and less, but I still have a tendency to stick my two cents into, in other words, share what I know, share my wisdom, share my knowledge, and nobody's asked me. I still have a tendency, my ego still tries to get in there and just slid in something. Now, I'm not criticizing myself for doing it, but I noticed that is not because the universe listens, just listens and accepts. So it's still ego, you know, and you guys tempt me. Oh, and this is what really got me. Oh, because she was talking to Owen, the creator, and I talked to the creator, and like, so now you're into the creator, so now I guess she gives me an opening for me to hit her with this stuff. So you're into the creator? So here we go. You're into the creator, but yet you have this hatred and disdain for her ex-husband. I use the word disdain, and she agreed with me, but you're into the creator. So now you're a hypocrite. You know, all these things are in my head, but it's still back to me because I opened my big mouth. The ego, I'm telling you, ego, I got your number, mother effer. I got your number, ego, and you're just, ooh, it's tricky.
Yeah, it's really tricky because it really will try anything. And yeah, I mean, like I always tell you, you know, I was able to find something to blame it on in the middle of nowhere. Yeah, I think that's pretty impressive for me.
Well, let me share the story because people that are listening might not know the story. So you were on a camping trip and you were by yourself in Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
Share that story, please. Just give a little background.
Yeah, so camping trip. In Colorado, I was by myself. We were in a small group, but we had taken an individual 2 to 3 nights on our own to journal, to walk around, to basically just do some self-exploration work. And I thought, wow, this is great. You know, I'm going to be on my own, and I can do my own thing. I can go to sleep when I want, wake up when I want. And lo and behold, the first day, I'm irritated. And, you know, I'm looking over to my left. I'm looking over to my right. You know, that I don't see any humans, so I can't really blame it on another human. I don't really, it's not traffic. Let's see, what else do I like to blame? Public transportation, noise. And I just felt like, I mean, I did try to blame it on the insects. I told you that. There's a few bugs around. I said, oh, it's the bugs. It's the bugs making me. If the bugs weren't here, I'd be happy. If the bugs weren't here, I'd be fine. So then now look at me. Now I have this mask on, you know, that protects your face from the bugs. I'm wearing long. It's hot. It's like 80 degrees, and I'm wearing long sleeve pants and shirt. So now no bug can touch me, and I'm all wrapped up, and I'm still pissed off. I'm pissed off because I'm all wrapped up.
Oh,
so
my God.
It just clued me in. It clued me in on two things. One, I can be, you know, I have the power. I have a superpower I didn't know about. I have a superpower of being irritated at nothing. And the other superpower, the other superpower is, oh, which I think is helpful for me, is I can be in an irritation vibe or an angry or whatever vibe and not necessarily have a reason or not even really have anything to fix other than just to notice that that is the vibe that I'm currently in. I would prefer not to be in that vibe. I prefer to be peaceful and appreciative and joyful, but I'm not there all the time. And I really didn't have a reason. And sometimes I can't pinpoint it on something, even if I look inside myself. But I think just the awareness of, okay, right now I am aware that I've got whatever, 30% chip on my shoulder or 70% chip or whatever it is, just to notice it, because then it's like noticing what kind of car I'm driving or noticing how fast the car can go or how good the steering is. It's like, just because the steering isn't good on a car doesn't mean I won't be able to drive it accurately and safely. I just have to know that about the car. Or just because, or like us, when we drove that big truck versus, you know, big moving truck, a huge truck where you put a lot of things in it, versus if you're driving a normal 2 or 4 seater, it's not dangerous to drive a big truck. It's just good to know that you're driving a big truck, so you're able to drive slower around the turns, you're able to use the mirrors differently. So if I'm feeling a certain type of way, what I call irritated, and I'm walking in the Apple store, now I know, okay, I'm definitely chippy, but I still have this task I want to do. So I have my strategies on dealing with it, which were, I'm trying to think what my strategy was. It just was to not talk too much and to really try to be light. And there was a few times where I did attack a little bit on the Apple guy, but I just kind of swerved out of the way. Anyway, just, I guess, knowing what is up. I like the car analogy, actually.
I love the truck analogy. The truck analogy is such a great analogy. You're talking about a Penske truck, 26-footer, and we're both drivers, and there was a big difference driving that 26-footer versus a regular car. And it's just noticing. But the other thing that you said, which is even more interesting, Nathan, is that witnessing. And one of the things that this new guy that I discovered, even though his interview is 1966, is we're here to witness. And the ego finds all this other stuff. The ego finds all of these other things to do. The ego feels other things, the physical things. But if we're just here to witness, then what we see, one of the things that he said, I should have written it down. He said, what you see in this world is who you are. What you see is what you are. So,
wow. Yeah.
What do you see? Do you see beauty? Do you see everything's in order? Do you see, or do you see problems? Or do you see, what do you see? So the witnessing really helps me. It helps me to stand outside of and away from the ego, who wants me to find everything wrong or a lot of things wrong.
Well, I really like that. What you see is what you are. That's new for me.
Mm-hmm. I was listening.
Yeah.
I actually emailed those tapes to you today. I was listening to that today.
Right.
Yeah, and they're probably 10 minutes each, but this Lester Levinson, and he was the one that you know, was teaching, or one of David Hawking's mentors. And it's interesting, his tone, he doesn't have as much humor as David Hawking, and his tone is very, very slow, and it's just a very slow tone. I told you at first, I'm thinking, okay, get to the point, let's go, what are you going to teach me? Let's go. And I had to,
mm-hmm.
I had to even check myself on that one.
Something just came to me just with the humor thing. You just said he wasn't quite as humorous as David Hawking. There's something about this humor that's a clue. And I feel like humor is expanding too, as far as, okay, this teacher gave this message, and then David Hawking's the next, his student, David Hawking's gives his message, but then he's got a little more lightness, humor to it. And I see this message evolving with more and more lightness. Sounds kind of right to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think I can look back on all the things that used to bother and irritate me and laugh at it. I can laugh at being irritated. And I mean, I'm irritated at looking outside and seeing a ladder for 5 days.
Right,
that
right.
Has some humor in it.
That does have some humor in it.
And then you say that you're in the middle of a forest and being bothered by the bugs. That you know, you're trying to blame it on bugs. That's got humor.
That's funny.
Well, this has been a great, great show. I really appreciate you calling in. Do you have anything else?
No, I just thanks for having me. That was fun, and it got me to get my Apple story out, which I didn't get a chance to tell you. Unfortunately,
and we have any listeners, if you're on the line, if you want to speak with me live or have a question, you can just press the number 1. While you're on hold. Other than that, if you don't want, if you're just listening, that's good too. I'm open to all, listen or not listen. But Reality Spirituality is heard every Sunday at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. My website is RebeccaNorrington.com. Follow me on Twitter at RLNorrington. My Instagram handle is Reality Spirituality. YouTube channel, yes, you can look at some of my videos from the book signing that I had in Oregon in January of this year, talking about the importance of happiness. I had a few people there. Captive audience. And Reality Spirituality, The Truth About Happiness, can be purchased on Amazon. My second book, Program for Unhappiness, is being written slowly but surely. And until next time, my dear audience, I just want to remind you who you are. You're a physical extension of the universe. You're always evolving. You're always changing. You're always growing. Be kind and be patient to yourself. Be your own best friend. Remember, you cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. It is about the journey. Thank you for listening to Reality Spirituality. Thank you, Nathan.
Yeah. Thanks, Mom. Bye.
Yeah, it was time to get real. Oh, yeah.
Reality Spirituality.
It's a new experience.
Reality Spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Reality Spirituality.
You got a question for RLN?
Reality Spirituality.
Time to get some answers, baby.
Reality Spirituality.
Oh, now we get real.
Get real. Reality Spirituality.
Yeah, time to get down.
Reality Spirituality.
Yeah, you're going to feel good now.
Get real good.
Now, that's what I'm doing.